Hi, this is Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. Once again, we're recording from our homes, only this time we are extending all the way across the oceans. And I'd like to welcome back to Border Crossings for his second appearance on our show, Banners, who is at home in, I think it's London, or are you still living in Liverpool?
I'm in Liverpool. It would be quite a nice fit if I was in London. Would there be a lot of London going on in this show? But I'm in Liverpool.
So the people from Liverpool are called Liverpudlians?
That's correct. You can either call us Liverpudlians, or you can say that we're Scousers as well as the other thing.
Scousers. Now, how does it feel to be a musician from a city that obviously is famous for another group of guys who sing?
Is that group Echo and the Bunny Men? Is it?
Yeah, right.
It's good. You know, weirdly, I am just very close to Penny Lane. Penny Lane is just around the corner from here.
Wow.
You go up Penny Lane and then Strawberry Fields is just sort of up at the top. So I'll go and say hello to Penny Lane for you if you like.
Yes, please do. Walk across barefoot. Now, I do remember, you know, watching a Paul McCartney special where he had signed, there's a famous wall somewhere with a bunch of musicians' signatures there.
I think that's in the Cavern. So the Cavern was the place that the Beatles used to do their thing, where you can still go now. And there's a lot. I think I'm pretty sure, because I saw that too. I'm pretty sure he's signing the wall in the Cavern, I think.
Have you signed it?
No. I think I need to have a few hundred million more Spotify streams before I would even dare to get up there.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, 700 million streams is not too shabby. So congratulations to you.
Oh, that's nice of you, mate. Thank you very much. It's about 700 million more than when we first met, I think. it was very early on. So it's lovely to be back. It's lovely to talk to you again.
Now, you know, for the benefit of our audience around the world, we're speaking with Banners, which is not obviously not your real name. Your parents wouldn't say, oh, this looks like Banners to us. So how did you come about the name Banners from your real name, which is Michael Nelson?
Sure. Yeah. Well, a couple of things, really. It's funny when you're coming up with a name for this sort of thing, because you just don't want to, I think if I called it Mike Nelson or Michael Nelson, there's sort of connotations of folk music there, maybe, and it might, you know what I mean? You're trying to find something. And I just like the idea of something that didn't really have any connotations for anybody. And it was like a blank canvas, basically, that I could turn into whatever it is that I wanted, you know, and then it gives you a lot of space to make it your own, and you can do all the design work and, you know, the artwork, and you can, some people aren't sure if it's a band or if it's just me. And I quite like that, really. You know, I think you want to have some level of enigma, don't you, when you're having a career in music. So yeah, it was, I'm quite, you know, it's hard finding a band name that isn't taken and that is good and doesn't have connotations for anybody, so I'm quite proud of it, really. I'm glad I don't have to think of another one, because it's not easy.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're happy with it, because there are artists and there are bands who start with a name and then they say, I don't like this, and they change, and you run the risk of confusing your fans.
Well, exactly. Yeah, you know, I think some people, I have a friend Todd that was in a band called Pilot, and they did quite well, especially in Canada, I think. And then they had to change their name to this whole other thing, and it was a bit of a nightmare for them. So I think you're right. So far, no one has sued me. So I think I'm okay.
Banners is our guest. Now, speaking of names, the name of your first studio full album is Where the Shadow Ends.
Yeah.
And that's where the new single that you've put out is from. Yes. What are the plans for the next album?
Well, that's the thing, really. So at the moment, I have a song that's called Someone to You, which is sort of, is doing okay at the moment, and it's increasing in popularity. So really, my focus is working as hard as I can to get that song to really whatever its potential is. And it might be now, this might be the top, but I want to sort of see how far I can get that. And then I suppose I'll react to how that does, really. The key really is to make sure that I have songs, like you say, songs to follow up. So I've been writing a lot I'm actually in a bedroom in my parents' house at the moment, because I came back here just to hang out. So I'm doing a lot of writing over Zoom, and there's a good chunk of songs now that I'm quite excited about. So we'll just see see how someone to you does, and then I think I've got some things to follow up when we need them, but.
That's great. Well, a lot of musicians record their stuff and write their music at home, and oftentimes in their own bedroom, not their parents' bedroom. So you're in your parents' bedroom, and here I am. Not too many people host an interview from their child's bedroom with their bunk right. bed behind them. But so be it in the virtual world we're living in right now. How has the COVID-19 pandemic affected your life beyond your career and slowed down as a music, everything that you knew before? But in your life personally, how has this affected you?
Well, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think everybody has their own versions of their own difficulties, and everybody is going to be in different phases of their own, you know, what is happening in their life. But we all have to have the opportunity to say, this is hard for me because of this reason. It's okay, you know, you don't have to be the worst off person to talk about it. But I really think that, you know, the mental health side of it is going to be such a huge part, and it is going to be almost from a, even when everything is a little bit more back to normal, I think from a mental health perspective, it's going to take us longer to you know, get our heads around it all a bit. And quite reasonably, we're really focused on the physical health, aren't we? We're focused on keeping people out of hospital, and if they're in hospital, then they're safe. But the mental health part of it, I think, is tough. So for me, I normally live in Toronto in Canada. And it was like, until 2 weeks ago when I came home to Liverpool, it was 5 months really just being on my own, you know, and I've never experienced that before. And it did start to get on top of me a little bit, really. You know, the first couple of months was okay. And then there's only so long that we can't, that we don't hug, you know, you basically have to hug your family at some point and touch people, and, you know, but like I say, we've all got our own battles with it, don't we? And I'm very fortunate, really, in that, you know, it hasn't stopped my career. I'm one of the lucky ones in that sense, that I'm not worried about money and you know, from, I can pay my rent perspective. And I'm very, very aware that that's not true for so many people, and so many people in the music industry, you know, because we talk about the bands and the sort of the face of it all, but really it's the people that work at the venues, isn't it? And it's the bar staff, and it's the security, and it's the loaders, and all of that stuff. It's a whole economy that we're going to have to pay quite big attention to at some point, because it's those people that are really struggling. So,
and as an artist who relies on audience interaction and connection, yes, on one side it opens up a whole new door or window so that you can broadcast to the world. You can reach many more people than the 200 or 2,000 in a venue. You know, you're reaching millions on social media, but at the same time, there's not the human contact.
Yeah, of course, and I find it quite, in a weird way, I'm quite glad that I couldn't just be sustained emotionally by faces on a screen or my friends on the phone. I'm glad that we are all still human, and we all, even though technology has advanced to the place that it has, I'm still really glad that I need to smell people and I need to hug them, because the alternative is far worse, isn't it? The alternative is that you're some sort of emotional robot. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, of course, I wish that I could play to people. But I do think we're also very fortunate that technology is what it is. Imagine if this had happened even 20 years ago, which is not that long ago in human development. You know, you and I wouldn't be able to talk now. When you consider that we've all got access to Netflix and Spotify, every film ever made and every piece of music recorded, you know. So I think if we've ever been in a place to be able to deal with it, it's probably now. Doesn't make it any easier, though, does it?
Right. No, exactly. It will make us stronger in the end. You know, we survive this situation and these challenges. Yes. Now, you talked about performing and playing. Can I get you to do a song for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll play the song that I have kind of out at the moment, which is called Someone to You.
All right. Here's Banners on the Voice of America.
I don't want to die or fade away.
I just want to be someone. I just want to be someone. And I even disappear without a trace. I just want to be someone. Well, doesn't everyone? And if you feel the great dividing, I want to be the one you're guiding. Cause I believe that you could lead the way. And I just want to be somebody to someone. Oh, I want to be somebody to someone. I never had nobody and no road home. I want to be somebody to someone. And if the sun starts setting, the sky goes cold, and if the clouds get heavy and start to fall, I really need somebody to call my own. I want to be somebody to someone, someone to you. Make the moon shine just for your view, and I'll make the starlight circle the room. And if you feel like night is falling, I want to be the one you're calling. Cause I believe that you could lead the way. Just want to be somebody to someone. I want to be somebody to someone. I never had nobody in no road home. I want to be somebody to someone. And if the sun starts setting, the sky goes cold, the clouds get heavy and start to fall, I really need somebody to call my own. I want to be somebody to someone, someone to you.
That's Banners, and what's the name of that song? That's a beautiful song.
That song is called Someone to You.
Someone to You. So that is actually the new single, the one that yes. You know, is getting all the attention, the buzz right now. You've had it on America's Got Talent. You've had it, I guess, in a film as well for Hulu.
I've been very lucky, really. It's been used in quite a lot of things, really, which is amazing. I think when you write music, you really just want to make people's day just a little bit better. You just want to be involved in, in them listening to your song. And if you can say, well, I maybe was part of making their day slightly better. So anytime it's in a film or anytime, especially Spotify streams, you know, you can almost calculate, well, you know, hopefully that is however many thousand people's day that I've been involved in making their commute to work a little bit easier, or maybe they'll feel happier for 10 minutes, you know. And I think that's an opportunity that you have as a musician and you have as a broadcaster, you know, that it isn't available to a lot of people in the world, and it's really a privilege.
Well, of course, being in a mobile phone commercial as well, the T-Mobile commercial the song is featured in, doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, if you look at BTS, they're back at number one and their song is in a mobile phone commercial. So you never know.
So,
You never know. So tell me about the inspiration for the song. I mean, what gave you the motivation to write Someone to You?
Well, it's a funny song, really, because it's very upbeat. It's very, you know, it feels quite happy. And it was only recently that somebody pointed this out to me. I didn't even really notice it, but the opening line in it is, I don't want to die and fade away. I just want to be someone. And I think it's this feeling that you just want to make a difference, that you want to feel like you've achieved something and that you've mattered, I think, on a wider scale to the world in some sense, but also that you matter to that one person or to somebody in your life. And I didn't realize how tragic a concept that is, really. I don't want to align myself with them because they are a million times better than I could ever hope for, but it's a little bit like Help by the Beatles in that sense, in that it sounds like a very upbeat song, but it's John Lennon saying, I really need some help, actually. Can someone help? So I think it has quite a nice desperation to it, which gives it, I think, a little bit of an edge.
And how much of yourself, your personal feelings, your personal state of mind goes into the songs you write? Because I know you mentioned, you know, mental health concerns before, mental health issues on a global level. And I know that many artists are now opening up and kind of letting people in a little bit more than they had in the past. And so, I mean, the music you're writing these days, how connected personally to you are you?
I think that subconsciously, that's where your ideas are going to come from. Even though you're not sitting down and saying, right, what did I do today? Or what did I do in the last week? Or how do I feel about that? It's just subconsciously going to be the things that you gravitate towards. And I think melodies are the same. I can't figure out why I gravitate towards the melodies that I do, but it's just somewhere in my life, those things have resonated with me. So I think that's true of songwriting. And that's why it's actually a little bit tricky when you are in an apartment on your own for 5 months, like we all have been at times during this. You get to 3 months in and you don't really have any new thoughts because you're not having any new experiences with people. And, you know, so it's sort of hard to manufacture thoughts to write about. And that's why it's quite important to have a bit of a change of scenery, which is why it's good to be back in Liverpool.
Has this environment given you any songs? Have you come up with anything as a result of being confined to home and whatnot?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first 2 months of it, you know, when the sort of the world went into lockdown, was so strange and so obviously so tragic, but also so unique and interesting. None of us had really experienced anything like that before. So suddenly you did have a lot of new things and new things to think about, you know. Yeah. There's only so long, I think, you then maybe after 2 months need to go and do another thing. You know? Otherwise you start writing songs about Netflix shows or something. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned that the song and all of, you know, most of the music on the album Where the Shadow Ends is organic. So what did you mean by that?
Well, it's, I think, you know, it's, I mean, I the bands that I really love are ones that are you know, have a lot of natural elements. So it's things like a real upright piano as opposed to, you know, I don't know what you know, it's a bit more bandy. The music I like is bands as opposed to sort of quite stripped back pop music, which is the type of pop you get now, which is great. But the thing that I like is, like, my dad is a record producer, so I spent a lot of time in recording studios watching bands in a live room playing together. And that's the thing that I'm always trying, if I can, to do. So if it's organic, then it's an attempt to sound a bit like that. So it's a bit tricky, you know, when you're literally recording your lyrics on a microphone in a bedroom to get it to sound like it's a band. But like I say, we're very lucky that this technology exists now and that you can do it in a bedroom. It's a pretty amazing opportunity, really.
You do so many different things. So, and you mentioned your dad's a producer. Do you have a favorite part of this business? Is it the writing, the recording, producing, performing?
I mean, it's a very privileged thing to to get to spend time in a recording studio when you're a really little kid. Because, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this in your line of work, but it's just the when you walk in to a recording studio and there's a huge desk and the speakers in a recording studio and they are playing music louder and to a higher fidelity than you're ever allowed to listen to music to. So you're just in there and it's this like, it's just this incredible multimedia, almost a super sensory experience. And I remember being stood in there and I remember my dad mute. I can remember it really clearly. My dad mute, soloing two guitars. So you solo the guitar channels and then everything drops out to just the guitar. And I remember thinking, I remember looking at that little red solo light and thinking, right, this is where I want to be in here. And I just thought musicians were just the coolest people. So I was training to be a engineer in a studio. I was making lots of cups of tea and stuff before I started being a singer. So if I'd have just spent my life being an engineer in a studio, then that I would have been very happy doing that.
Well, I agree with you. Musicians are the coolest people. And
except for me, I'm rubbish, but those guys are awesome.
Now, Banners is our guest. Would you do
Absolutely.
Another song for us?
Yeah. So this song, I imagine I would have played this song when we first got together, I think. So this is a song. This is a song called Shine a Light.
All right. Here's Banners.
To set you free, 'cause I'm only looking for a little peace. And when the night falls, oh, call on me. Just don't forget to show me some mercy. Shine a light on me.
that was kind of from the first EP in 2016, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that came out in 2016. And yeah, it was a really big song for me, really, because when I wrote it with my friend Coz, who's a producer in Toronto, I didn't have a record deal by that point. I was just, you know, it was one of the songs that got people interested in me, really. And from a TV and film perspective, it was the first song of mine that really started to be placed in movies, or it was on a computer game called FIFA 16, which is the big soccer game at the time. So it was great for me. You know, I'd never had anything like that before, and suddenly people are using your music, and it really helps your confidence, you know.
Because... How do you think your music has changed in terms of your writing style from when you started in 2016 to where you are now 5 years later?
Sure. Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I think when I was writing that first EP, there was no record labels involved. It was just me and the producer. So I think there was a sense of freedom to that. And then signing to a big record label, especially one with the history of Island Records, you know, you suddenly feel a very big weight on your shoulders and something that you now have to learn to deal with. And I think for the first year or two, there's a danger you can be overcome by it, because you end up thinking, oh God, I'm not very good. And are they having second thoughts? And it takes a while to find your voice again. But I think now that, you know, there's enough evidence to suggest that I'm doing okay and that people quite like it. So that builds your confidence. And I think now you're writing from a place where you're much more confident that what you think and the melodies that you like have some weight to them. And actually you might be quite good at your job. You know, you learn that. And I'm very lucky because I get to work with really great songwriters too. So it's a very privileged position to be in, really.
Exactly. And you're quite modest, as I mentioned at the start, 700 million plus streams, you know, so you definitely have established yourself in the business, and certainly are really, really talented, tremendously talented artist and songwriter. And so you work with Young Bombs.
Well, yeah, it was an interesting story, really, in that I actually haven't met them. They're DJs. There's some really talented DJs, and I had a song called Where the Shadow Ends, which was just like an acoustic. It was just on the piano, I think, and it had some, like, it's just really piano and vocals. And I guess it was just sort of sitting on someone's hard drive. Like, we've just sort of forgot about it. But they got hold of it and just made a really cool version of it. And it was like, oh, this song is really good. I'd completely forgotten about it, but and I think that's what's brilliant sometimes when somebody with an outside perspective comes in and hears something that you weren't really hearing. So they made it this, like, really much more up-tempo, much more hooky, interesting version of it. So I'm really grateful to them for rediscovering it for me, really. And, it's great. I love playing it live now.
How do you feel when you hear the comparison to Chris Martin of Coldplay?
Well, I mean, Chris Martin was my absolute hero when I was a kid. I just loved him and I really wanted to be him. So if it's a comparison, it's only because I loved him so much and that's why. But I would never, ever say I would ever get near him in terms of ability or singing ability. But it's very lovely if people ever say that. Just to be considered in the same bracket as him is a huge honor, because I think he's genuinely a genius.
Well, when I talked to him last week, I told him, you know, how do you feel being called the Banners? And
were you talking to Chris recently?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Well, the funny thing about him, because I was lucky enough to meet him quite a lot when I was a kid, and he's such a funny man. And I feel like, and maybe it comes across a tiny bit, but I mean the funniest man in the world. And I wish there was more opportunity for him to get to do it, basically. But
he's a very nice guy. I did meet him once upon a time. He was in the backstage area at an Earth World concert.
Right.
In a baseball cap and just unassuming, just standing there with all of us lowlifes. And so I went and said hi, and he was very gracious and a lot of fun. Would you do another song for us? One more. We got time for one more.
I'd love to, yeah. So this one is called Start a Riot, which is another one from 2016, but I figured, you know, if we're having a reunion, then I may as well. and, you know, this is another song that was quite a big deal at the start of my musician career, really. So Start a Riot.
Here's Banners.
Oh, 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 oh. I won't march down an empty street like a ship into a storm. No surrender, no retreat. I will tear down every wall just to keep you warm and just to bring you home. I will burn this city down for a diamond in the dust. I will keep you safe and sound when there's no one left to trust. But you take my hand, we can make. If your world falls apart, I'd start a riot. If night falls in your heart, I'll light the fire. In the dark, hear you sound.
Crossings, and you are watching an interview with Banners, who has an album out. It's been out for the last year. It's Where the Shadow Ends, and a new song that is getting a lot of attention, Someone to You, which is a great single, great song, and people can get it on all of the different platforms, Spotify and iTunes and Amazon.
All of the things.
All of the things. So what is the plan next, because this is another single off of the latest album, which is about a year old. So what about next? I mean, hopefully you'll be out on the road and this pandemic thing calms down a little bit.
It's an interesting discussion, isn't it? Because we still don't really know. We still don't really know how it all looks, do we, next year? And I think what, I mean, me and my manager, we're talking about we were talking about maybe going on the road and stuff, but I think there's going to be so many tours that were supposed to be this year will be moved to next year. So many people that are going to want to be touring next year anyway. I think people already have ticket buying fatigue with the amount of tickets they've bought and then have them been moved and then have them been cancelled. So I think selling tickets, there's going to be a lot more people touring and a lot more people unsure as to buy tickets. So I'm not. So what we decided, I think, was to try to use the time that we would be on the road, which we ordinarily would, to just try to think of different ways that we can do it and spend a bit of money on, you know, I don't know what it looks like yet, and it's what we'll figure out. But if I can find a space that we can do quite high production value performances and we figure out how to get fans involved in other ways other than just playing live, because we just can't guarantee anything. And I'd hate to book a tour and then people get excited and then we have to cancel it, you know, and we have to move it. So I think we're just going to be quite sensible from that perspective. And just,
that's a very practical business type decision to say, hey, people losing their jobs, concerts will cost a lot of money. You know, why compete with everything at the same time? That's a very wise decision.
Exactly. And then it hopefully, you know, it gives the bands that are out on the road more opportunity to sell their tickets. And, you know, I'm not saying that I would be the big draw. I'm just saying that, you know, there has to be an ecosystem where we all look after one another. But I hope that gigs happen, because, like I say, I want the restaurant that's next to the venue to be supported and the bar staff in the venue and the promoters. It's such a vast pyramid, music and theater and even cinemas, you know, that we haven't even scratched the surface with the fallout from it yet. So, you know, I think there's going to be a strange few years of music, but if we can figure out how we can do it within these confines, then it could be positive. I don't know.
Have you done a lot of international touring? I mean, we have, 100 countries watching and listening. And so I know that, you know, the show is very popular in places like Ethiopia and Africa or in Indonesia. Right. So in many different countries around the world. But I mean, is there places that you like to go or want to go?
I mean, pretty much all of my touring so far has been in America and in Canada, which again is such a privilege for me, because you grow up in England and America is the Holy Grail. You know, it's the place that, you know, the Rolling Stones went and the Beatles went and the first and second invasions of British bands, and it's like, wow, that's the promised land, really. So it's been brilliant to get to know the country and the people too. But of course, I would love to tour everywhere, because the thing that you learn is people are lovely. You know, you get to go to these places and meet people, and especially if they've come to watch your music, and I don't know, maybe my music is quite positive, so maybe that's the reason, but meeting real people gives you such a faith in humanity, because it's just lovely experiences and people that just want to say hello and say thank you, or, you know, vice versa. So I would love to, you know, I'd love to go anywhere, because I love traveling I always love to meet people, and I love to be an ambassador for Liverpool as well, you know, so that maybe people could meet me and say, oh, he's a nice guy. I wonder if people from Liverpool are nice.
Well, we have banners on the show. And before I let you go, can you tell all of the viewers and the listeners where they can find you as far as to keep in touch with you on all the social media sites, your own website? Where would they go?
Absolutely. Yeah, you could just follow me at Banners Music on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. There's more just get invented every day, don't they? But all of the social medias, it's at Banners Music.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm very excited about your new song and about the future. And please promise when you're in Washington, D.C. next, you will stop by our studios.
Oh, yeah, man.
Banners has been our guest, and you are watching Border Crossings.